the book of Acts, chapter 12, from the verse number 16. It is an interesting fact among the believers, and I am talking about sincere believers, the believers that have a pretty high level of wisdom and understanding of the Word of God. Even among them, their humanity frequently will surface so clearly and be so obvious that everybody later has to realize that it's their humanity. And the Spirit of the Lord is not always going to completely protect us and keep us from our mistakes and from our misunderstandings, from our humanity, because we need to know that we are only human, and every good gift and blessing and everything that is good in its nature, in its essence, cometh from the Lord. We are only His people that He saved, that He plucked out of the depths of hell. If one member of a Christian community knows something that the others don't know, then that member must be out of his or her mind. The rest of them that are ignorant of the facts, they're in good sound mind. That's humanity. That's not the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is not leading in that direction. Why would it be necessary to tell to this sister Rhoda that she is out of her mind because she knew that Peter was at the door? Why they didn't go right away to check, to see who is there? Why was it necessary to guess? Oh, it must be his angel, as if angels would ever have to wait and ask for permission to get in. Those that have message from the Lord, the angels, the heavenly messengers, they just get in. Well, finally they decided to open, and they were astonished seeing Peter. I think the excitement, the thrill, the joy was so great that it turned into a noisy expression. Peter, Peter, Peter is here, talking to one another. The Lord has delivered him. And it was a dangerous time. It's a time of persecution, severe persecution. So Peter beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace. Shh, stop that. And he declared unto them how the Lord hath brought him out of the prison. It must have been a wonderful story for the ears of the believers, those that were in prayer for Peter all the time until they saw him. And he said, go, Peter that is, said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. You see that concern, that care for one another among the Christians, the believers, and as an apostle and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter was a good example in that godly concern for the other fellow believers. And then he departed and went into another place. Where was that place? Why the writer of this book did not at least give us some hints? We might be very eager to know, where was that other place? None of these disciples was told, where is that other place? At least that's my perception. Could be my imagination. But I think it was necessary to have a secret place and to keep that secret a secret, not to tell anyone, because either in carelessness, either in misunderstanding, or by some incident, accident, it might come to the ears and awareness of those of whom it should be kept unknown. Since the Lord has delivered Peter from the prison, it was Peter's intention not to tempt the Lord, not to give the enemies another opportunity to apprehend Peter. I remember when I was an elder of a fellowship, and some people may call that bishop or senior pastor, and so often young believers, not only men but even girls, sisters, would like to question me and would like to influence me and would like somehow to control the others through me. And if I did not openly and freely answer all of their questions to satisfy their curiosity, they would later on tell the others that I'm not sincere, I'm not honest. As if honesty would be irresponsibility or giving to those that are not qualified and not wise to keep the secret thing secret, to give them an opportunity to make damage. Sincerity and honesty have nothing to do with careless spilling the things that should be kept secret. After this encounter with the Apostle Peter, we are going to see him briefly in the chapter 15 in this book, giving a very strong and clear testimony concerning circumcision and keeping of the law on behalf of the believers from among the Gentiles. And then we are not going to meet this very faithful, significant, wonderful servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until we get to the point in time of studying the general epistles, the first and second epistle of the Apostle Peter. After walking with such a dear brother in Christ through the four books of the Gospels and these first 12 chapters of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, this feels like a sad departure. Perhaps it's not the same for every Bible student. Perhaps I shouldn't feel like that. And yet, this might be my weakness. And I'm emotional about meeting these people and about departing from them. When I finish one Bible book and start recording another Bible book, there is always some sad feeling, some feeling of parting with a dear old friend, a dear precious fellow believer, a very dear and loving and lovable witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of September the 10th, the year 1998, I was released from the prison where I spent only 5 years, and quite a few fellow believers were left behind, just as quite a few were released before me. And now this is my turn. I was released from the prison. I was given back my civil clothing and my suitcase and a few things that belong to me, private things. And I stepped on the ship that is going to take me, was going to take me from that island prison to the mainland of the country. As I was standing on the top floor of the ship and watching that island growing smaller and smaller in the distance, something was breaking in my heart. For 5 years on that island, I was facing my weaknesses and experiencing the wonderful mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the marvelous and precious companionship of the Holy Spirit. For 5 years I was sharing joys and sadnesses, hopes and fears with the fellow believers there. And now I'm leaving. And it looked like the best 5 years of my pilgrimage have ended at that moment. Perhaps not as strong and not as emotional, and yet in essence similar is the feeling I experience when I finish one Bible book and prepare to start to begin another one. So we are going to meet the Apostle Peter once again in chapter 15. But for this moment, we should look a little bit more closely and carefully at another person that is absolutely different, another human being, but in an entirely different situation and different conditions. In this chapter 12, Peter was the persecuted Christian and the delivered apostle. But the other one that was the persecutor, an empty man, a slave of Satan, a sinner that was chasing opportunity to be happy, to enjoy life, and it was always far ahead of him. He knew never what is true happiness. He never obtained peace in his heart. And now, when he planned, I'm talking about Herod the king, when he planned to make a sensational favor to the Jews that opposed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by presenting to them a prisoner, the Apostle Peter, and giving him to their mercy, whether to put him to death or to grant him on their request to give him life. Of course, Herod was sure that the Jews, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders, and all that mob of the rulers, religious rulers in Jerusalem, will insist to crucify Peter rather than to release him. So Herod would satisfy his bloodthirsty, manic personality and also make a political maneuver and a gesture toward the Jews to solidify his rulership over them and somehow to make them his friends. But God, our Lord, our Savior, has prepared a couple of dramatic surprises for this poor lost soul called King Herod. In the verse number 18 of this chapter 12, I read that as soon as it was the day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? While the two soldiers were sleeping with their armor in their hands, on their bodies, perhaps spears or swords or whatever they had, one on one side and the other on the other side of Peter. And Peter was sleeping in his shackles, and these soldiers are sleeping, and probably at the moment that the angel appeared and the bright light shone in the prison cell, these faithful soldiers were snoring. As soon as they woke up in the morning, they could have seen empty shackles and the chains down on the floor. What happened? They have no explanation. They know nothing. If they knew something, you see, those soldiers that were watching the sepulchre of Joseph, believing that they are guarding the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They at least knew something. An angel came and there was a flash of light and an earthquake, and the angel rolled the stone away, and the soldiers were astonished, frozen, scared to death. But at least they knew something. I'm afraid, or I hope, these soldiers that were guarding Peter knew nothing. They had no idea what happened. The bright light that Peter saw, the angel that led Peter out, these soldiers have not seen any of that. At least there is no evidence that they did. And I'm very thankful, I'm glad, I'm really thrilled with that. That's the way it's supposed to be. If we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we are prepared and willing and ready to go follow the Lord all the way, no matter what persecution, no matter what suffering will meet us, then the wonderful grace of the Lord is revealed to us as the bright light of a heavenly messenger. But the same light and the same brightness is hidden from those that enjoy the world of sin and iniquity. Before the soldiers were able to figure out anything, any explanation, any answer to the question, what happened to Peter? The King Herod is calling for Peter. Bring that prisoner out. But they have no prisoner in their hands. I think that Herod did not believe the guards, his own soldiers. He examined them. He questioned them. And for him, there was only one answer. They betrayed him. The soldiers disobeyed the king and betrayed his confidence. They did not. But he believed that they did. So he commanded that they be put to death. We can only imagine what was the fear and the anxiety of the guards when they got a Christian prisoner next time. It was a dangerous thing. But Herod had not only this disappointment, not only this fiasco. There were more political and military problems just ahead of him. He was highly displeased with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they couldn't care less for that. They came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace. Now, what was the problem? Why was Herod so angry with the citizens of Tyre and Sidon? I don't find it here. But political intrigues and political betrayals and political clashes are very frequent, regular thing in the world of politicians. This also is revealing to us, as much as Herod was dangerous against his victims and even against his own soldiers, he was very weak and he was not able to accomplish his political and military ambitions. Apparently, Herod was a gifted orator, a gifted speaker, and he enjoyed speaking to the masses, to the groups of people, to the crowds, and posing as a real king, though he was but a servant of the Roman emperor. Another disappointment, another surprise is just ahead of him. Upon a set day, perhaps a holiday or Herod's birthday or maybe emperor's birthday, In any case, it was a set day, a scheduled day. Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is a voice of a God and not a man." I think that this is correctly translated, "a God." These people believed in quite a few gods, and their gods were bigger, stronger, and much more corrupted than the people. So their idea of divine power was far from the reality. They had their own superstitions. Roman and Greek religions are so empty, so corrupted, and absolutely unreasonable. Perhaps for a short moment Herod enjoyed this self-exaltation, this glorification, this fame of speaking to the people and being proclaimed a god. But the next moment, a messenger from the Lord came, and the message was very clear. "Herod, enough of your foolishness. It's time to give an account how you used all the opportunities that the Lord has given you, to give an account what you did with all that was never yours but God's." The Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ smote Herod with a fatal touch because Herod never glorified God the Father. And Herod was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So it looks like, at least for a short time, Herod was able to see and feel how his body's getting decomposed, eaten up by worms. This ruler that imprisoned Peter was now in the prison of his own evil doing. And Peter was out free to continue serving the Lord and helping the disciples. In the verse number 24, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." And then we have one verse that is like an introduction into the next part, next episode, if you like, of the Acts of the Apostles. "Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." May the Lord bless His word and multiply it in our hearts and bless us with ever-growing deeper and deeper insight into the Word of God, ever clearing understanding of His will, more and more of a faithful application, and more of a sound presentation of His Word. For this Word of God is the seed of life, and that is life everlasting in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.